We are now going live and direct, Lindsay and I, and talking with Governor Mike DeWine is on the line. Governor, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, that would help if we
got him on the line. Good morning, Governor DeWine. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
I had talked to our listeners yesterday and asked them if they had any questions for you, and we were shocked that they didn't have questions, but so many of them wanted to share their thoughts with you about what they thought about the job you were doing as governor in preparing us for this coronavirus. And if you don't mind, I can share a couple of our listeners and what they had to say. Would that be great?
Okay, sure.
Here we go.
Sure. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sandy. But I just wanted to thank him and his staff for the amazing job that they're doing. He was one of the first governors in America to shut down. And I think that's one of the reasons why our cases are so low compared to Pennsylvania.
My name is Debbie, and just like Sandy called, I'm on the front line with her, taking care of people. Yes, we're scared every day going into work and wondering how our patients are going to do, and it's difficult to see the ones who don't do well. But he has made our lives, I think, a lot better than a lot of other states. I, too, go into nursing homes to see patients, and the facilities around where I have been going, there have not been a single case yet of COVID due to his lockdowns as well. So that says a lot for him and Dr. Amy.
And that was the majority of the calls we got, Governor. So thank you for what you and your staff are doing.
Well, that's very nice. Tell them I appreciate that very much. And, the nurses and other people who are on the front line are just doing an amazing, amazing job. And we can't thank them enough for everything they're doing.
Well, we were watching almost every day you're holding a press conference and talking about what you're doing. First of all, do you ever get any sleep, you and your staff? I mean, it just seems like it's nonstop something. And
I do, but it has been pretty all consuming, as you can imagine, for the last month or so, because there's nothing more important now than trying to keep people safe and then figuring out how we can put more and more people back to work and start to open things up. So that's the goal as we move forward.
There were a couple things that struck us locally. Number one is just yesterday you announced that there's going to be an early prison release for several prisoners across the state of Ohio. What prompted that, and how's that going to transpire and work?
There's a law that's been on the books for some time that says that the head of the prisons in Ohio, if there's an overcrowding situation, can release prisoners if they were within the last 90 days of their sentence. So these are people all coming out in 90 days or less. And what we did is we looked at that, and then we filtered some of those out. We got rid of all the sex offenders and the homicides and the kidnappings and all the things that make your hair curl to think that they're walking out one day earlier than they should get out. And that's how we came up with that number. So they all were coming out anyway. They're on some supervision depending on the individual. But as I said, they would all have been out in 90 days anyway. And this gives us some additional space to get the prisoners separated. It's still certainly not ideal at all. The bigger impact on a prison has been in the last 3 weeks, our prison population has gone down 500 in addition to what I just told you. And the reason it's gone down is because cases are being continued at the local level. And there's not as much activity at the local level by the local judges. And so every day in the prison, people are coming in and people are going out. When you got 48,000 people, you can imagine there's some people whose sentences are over. They're coming out every day. You got some people who are being sentenced every day. Well, there's been fewer people, you know, in the last 3 weeks that have actually been sent there by the local courts. We would expect that to continue. That's going to give us, I wouldn't say breathing room, but it's going to give a little more space. So the other thing that we're doing now is significantly increasing the testing, both for the staff as well as for the prisoners. We're working with Ohio State University to ramp that up. And we're at a stage now of this epidemic where, you know, people say, well, what do you worry about every day? I worry about a lot of things, but I worry about our nursing homes. I worry about, you know, our prisons. I worry about anywhere we've got people who are, you know, basically living together. And because once it gets in that facility, then it just spreads very, very, very quickly. And so that's where you're going to see, tragically, a lot of the cases and a lot of the fatalities as we move forward, I'm afraid. You know, you've read about, you know, a nursing home here, a nursing home there, where it gets into. So trying to make sure we've got a kind of a strike team to move in anytime it's in a nursing home. But it, you know, really going in and increasing the testing right away so we can separate people out. And it's not an exact science. I mean, sometimes people would test negative even though they're in the very, very early stages of having it. So not an exact science, but the testing helps. And as we look forward to kind of trying to get back in business in Ohio, one of the things that slows us is our lack of testing. We do not have as much testing as, you know, as we would certainly like to have.
Although
that is improving. That is improving. And we're getting more and more of it as our you know, Cleveland Clinic, for example, has, you know, ability to do a lot of testing. So does the Ohio State University. We've got four other hospitals that are doing pretty good amount of testing now.
So, Governor DeWine, you recently just said something interesting about the retirement homes, that there was a strike team that could be put in place. I'm not familiar with that term. Can you elaborate on that?
You just kind of surge people together, you know, a team that will, you know, the way our system is set up, we have 113 local health departments, and they are really the front line. They're the ones who we never talk about. I mean, people never think much about them until there's a problem, but they're doing a phenomenal job around Ohio. But, you know, when they get a nursing home, it may be a health department who's not had a nursing home where that has really hit. And so, you know, we get on the phone with them, we work with them to try to give them the help and the assistance they need. If they need somebody to come in and help, that we do that as well. And we try to surge in, you know, a lot more testing quickly.
Got it. That makes sense.
That's kind of how we, you know, try to do it and try to surge in. What you're going to continue to see are these hot spots. I mean, two things are going on. You got these hot spots at the same time. You know, we still have people every day who are contracting the virus. I mean, I look at the numbers every day. I've not looked at them this morning yet, but I look at the hospital admissions every day, and because that gives you a pretty good indication. And you know, the good news is they're flat; they're not going up anymore, and that's great, great, great news. Bad news is they're still there, and so it means that, you know, we our goal was to try to, as we said, flatten the curve, and so that our whole healthcare system would not be overwhelmed. We have really done that, and that's Ohioans who have done that by the social distancing or the physical distancing, and all the other things that, you know, that they have done. But it's flat now. So what we would hope to see is for it to start, you know, at some point here, obviously, we would hope it would start going down. The challenge is that most Ohioans still, you know, have not had it, and so they're vulnerable, and the virus is still out there. What we're planning on now, and we're working on this every day, is how do we, you know, start opening things up, but at the same time provide protection. And Dr. Acton talked a little bit about, yesterday about wearing masks. You know, you go to some countries, and Fran and I were in Japan 6 months ago or so for a trade mission for Ohio, and everybody's walking around with masks. Well, you're going to start seeing that here. I mean, people out, as long as this coronavirus is out there, people, you know, are going to be very wise to wear masks. That doesn't give perfect protection, but if everybody's wearing one, it helps you from somebody who has it and might be, you know, sneezing or breathing, and that droplets would go out. So it doesn't protect you as much as it protects everybody else, but that's, if everybody's doing it, then, you know, we're being courteous to each other. And that's, so you're going to see things like that a lot more. Businesses are going through.
If we can go back to one question that that came to my mind earlier, you know, here in Mahoning County in our area, we've been really hit rather hard. And one of the decisions you made, which I thought early on, was limiting liquor sales to only Ohio and these counties neighboring Pennsylvania. Could you tell me what led to that and how that's working for the state?
Well, you know, it's an unusual thing to do, but these are unusual times. And frankly, we started getting complaints from chiefs of police and from people in the communities that they were being inundated by people from Pennsylvania who are coming over. And we usually love seeing people from Pennsylvania. Nothing wrong with that. And particularly if they're here to shop or spend some money, it's
sure.
Great. But it just seemed to be, it was creating a situation where literally at some of these stores, they were just crowding in. And it was a social distancing issue. And frankly, you also worry about people coming from a distance. You know, we're trying to discourage traveling for our own residents and others unless it's necessary. And so just moving around and bringing whatever they have, you know, some of them may not have had any symptoms in coming over from Pennsylvania. So this was really an answer to local officials who were calling me and were complaining about it.
Well, it seems like so many of your decisions are, you're getting calls and getting people who are saying that we've got this problem, we've got that problem. One question we had from a listener was, she's a frontline worker and her hours were cut, and she wondered if there's any such thing in the CARES Act for hazard pay for some of these frontline workers. Is that something that you're working on?
I'm not an expert on the CARES Act, and we're trying to learn everything that's in it. I am not aware of anything. I'm not aware of anything. One of the things that, and I don't know if she falls under this category or not, but one of the things that we had to do is stop elective surgeries. In other words, surgeries that were not, you know, necessary at this moment. You could delay them. But we did it because we wanted to conserve the PPE, the personal protection equipment, the mask, and all the other stuff that is used in hospitals. But, you know, we think it's probably time to start easing back on that. And we still don't have the personal protection equipment, all of it we need, but we're certainly working very hard to get more and more of it in Ohio. But we've got a lot of small hospitals, frankly, that are in financial trouble. They've laid people off or they've cut people back. She may be in that category. And one of the reasons is because they're not doing these elective surgeries. And the real concern is that some people who have really postponed care, and, you know, an example would be someone who, because of a past medical problem, is they're doing a colonoscopy, let's say, you know, every year. Well, now that's been pushed back a couple of months. And you don't want to postpone these things too long. They can be postponed a little bit, but not too long. I talked to a dad last night down in Cincinnati, and he had a child with a club foot, and he said they wouldn't do the procedure. And I frankly couldn't understand why they wouldn't do that. But that's one of the things that we're trying to ease back in and get moving again. So that may be of some help to her. We wanted to make sure two things. We didn't run out of PPE for all our or all our folks out there who really need it every day. And the second, we didn't want our hospitals, if we did get a surge in the coronavirus, we didn't want our hospitals overwhelmed like, you know, what we've seen on TV in New York. Well, it looks like we've certainly dodged that bullet. We've literally flattened this curve, and, you know, now that could spike back up, but we think we're in pretty good shape as far as our hospital capacity now.
Now, Governor DeWine, with all of this going on, we have a lot of anxiety for the future, and I know we don't have a crystal ball, but what are your hopes for the Mahoning Valley and all of Ohio when social distancing becomes less imperative?
Yeah, I think we want to get people back to work just as quickly as we can. Some people are still working, some people in the construction industry, for example, some manufacturing. But we, of course, obviously have a lot of people who are not. So we want to do it where it can be as safe as possible. And I think when I got cut off, that's what I was starting to talk about is we're working with different industries to come up, and for them to come up with the best practices. How do you keep people distance apart? I have a friend who's got a manufacturing company not too far from you all, and they've been continuing to run. They've been deemed an essential business, and he was telling me the other day all the things that they have done to protect their workers. So we're going to move into a new phase where we have some of these companies open up and people go back to work. But what they need to do is just have in place. They need the mask. They need the distance. They need the sanitation. They need all of these things. And it can be done. And nothing's foolproof. I mean, people can still get it. But keeping it from spreading in a factory or a business, if the company and the employees really work hard at it, we think that, this certainly can be done. So that's our next step. We want to open the hospitals up more. We want to open up these other businesses. Until the virus is gone, and that's, not going to happen probably until we get a vaccine.
Right.
People are just going to be careful. They're going to have to wear masks when they go out. If you have a real threatened medical condition or a bad medical condition, you're going to have to be awfully, awfully careful because it's still out there. And at this moment, we don't have an antidote for it. We don't have a way to, get you well. And so those people who the death rate you're seeing is almost in direct proportion to age. Now, that doesn't mean a 25-year-old can't die. We have had some, or 35. But the older you get, the higher the mortality rate is. Mm-hmm. And so for the older people, they're just going to have to be very careful. Or if they've got a medical condition. If you look at a lot of the people who are dying, they've had some other bad, they got a heart problem, or they got an asthma problem, they've got something else going on.
Well, we're looking forward to following what you have to say. I know you'll have more press releases and more conferences today. I know your time is up, but thank you so much your time, Governor DeWine, and look forward to talking to you in better times ahead.
Well, thank all your listeners, and better times are ahead. We're gonna get through this, and we're gonna move forward. And I'm confident in where Ohio's going to go. This is a setback. It's been an economic setback as well as the medical setback. But I'm very optimistic about the Mahoning Valley and optimistic about Ohio, and we're going to get through this.
All right. Thank you so much, Governor. Have a great day.
Thank you.